accession number 22086, reel 2.
Colonel Shakespeare, reel 2. I think you were saying that later on you were able to use six mortars together.
Yes, well, the brigadier having said you never fire more than two, and when I was at Casino, I had the pleasure of writing back to my successor at Sorga, saying, you'll be interested to know that I was the mobile fire controller, or forward observation, or so call it what you will, for 18 3-inch mortars and 18 4.2 mortars, all firing on one target at Albanetti House. You can tell that to the brigadier.
Do you know if the brigadier was told, and if he was, what he said?
Well, the brigadier was a very pleasant chap. He was the commandant, he had been the commandant of the Equitation School, Brigadier Williams, and he was a very nice chap, but I don't think he knew much about infantry soldiering, really.
Did you find that the Gurkhas and other Indian troops adapted easily to the use of the mortar?
Oh, Lord, yes. They, it's very noticeable, they'd work morning, noon and night, never hard enough. And when they left, what they didn't know about what I could give them, they were extremely good, but the trouble was when they got back to the units, there were no mortars. And then you found that the same chap was coming back on a medium machine gun course. And that was totally stupid, because the two weapons were diametrically opposed. No, no, once they were au fait, they were extremely good.
Did you find that some types of Indian soldiers were better at this kind of thing than others?
Yes, I suppose so. The Sikhs were very good at picking it up. The best instructor I had, funnily enough, was a little Gurkha in the 8th Gurkhas. I would have said he was an outstanding instructor, but Pathans, PMs, Dogras, any of them, they all picked it up, and I don't think I ever had to send a chap back for being idle or useless. I'm sure I didn't. As I say, the 2 years teaching that were probably the most satisfying job I ever did, looking back on it. Apart from the fact that I hadn't been to war.
Did you feel a sense of frustration or disappointment that you were training?
Yes, I did. I was trying to get out after a year, and it wasn't, I think, until, I don't know this, but I think my godfather, who was commanding 4th Indian in the desert, sent a note.
Would this be General Tuca?
This is General Tuca, yes. Sent a note to GHQ saying, get him out, and into, it was about time I joined the battle, and so I was removed in April 43, that's right, yes, I had 2 years, 41 to 43, and joined them on the way back from Tunis, actually, just after the battle had finished.
How did you get from India to North Africa?
I was OC troop train from Delhi to Bombay. I was then told to go to Karachi, and Karachi I got onto an Empire flying boat, or a Sunderland flying boat, and flew via Bahrain, Dead Sea, Cairo.
From Cairo, what happened there?
Went to Mina camp, transit camp under the pyramids. And then sent up the coast road and joined the battalion as they were coming back at Merzabetru, or I can't remember the exact place now, somewhere in Libya anyway.
Was there anyone in the battalion who you recognised, who you'd known from when you first joined them?
Yes, I knew, one or two new subalterns, the CO I hadn't met. He was from the 1st Gurkhas. The second in command, I remember, and various company commanders, but I can't remember exactly how many I did know, because when I went from the battalion to the depot, they went down to Murat. Ramsay Brown was one. Not all that number, actually. The adjutant, of course, wasn't there. No, there were about two or three that I'd served with before. As I say, the CO and the second in command was new. Thinking back, I can't really place them all.
What sort of state was the battalion in when you met them coming back?
Oh, their tails very high. They'd done extremely well. They'd virtually won the Battle of Wadi Akarit, which was the mountain left flanking.
Yes.
The Marath Line business, Wadi Akarit, and finally in Tunis, going across with 7th Armoured and sorting it out.
Had they suffered casualties as a result of these
encounters? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, normal. But nothing. No, the spirit was very high.
But were they able to get reinforcements coming out to fill?
Yes, they came. They were coming out. I mean, when I arrived, the adjutant had been Ramsay Brown, yes. And for reasons which I don't really know, various people were offered adjutant and declined. I, the new boy, was suddenly made adjutant, and the CO was, as I say, from the 1st Gurkhas and was slightly temperamental, could be, but a very, very good trainer of men. And so I was made adjutant. And
what were your main duties and functions as adjutant?
Well, to make sure that the CO's wishes were carried out by companies and company commanders. And what happened? We went from Alexandria to Palestine and did training in the Lebanon for mountain warfare.
Do you remember which parts of the Lebanon you were in?
Tripoli, just north of, well, it's inland from Tripoli, sort of up there.
So it'd be north of Beirut then as well.
Yes. Well, coming back, I think everyone went into Beirut and had a knees up. I was the adjutant and missed everything. But we were there for quite a long time. I can't remember now. 3 or 4 months anyway.
What were the conditions like in the Lebanon at that time? Do you get any sense of that?
Well, it was hot. Mm. I remember doing an exercise in the Dead Sea in Israel, the Dead Sea, up to point minus 215 or something.
Yes.
And it took 2.5 hours to get there. Very, very hot. And that sort of thing, you know, keeping really fit and all those sort of low-level exercises and convoy work in the Lebanon, trying to go through quickly with a view, I presume, in Italy or wherever we went, to be able to do altitude training and movement, not necessarily in vehicles but on foot as well.
Well, presumably they'd already been doing some of that in Tunisia, if they were
Oh, yes, yes. Well, well, that was the battle, and then they moved round and...
Yes.
In fact, the CO captured Von Arnim, Horch, Von Arnim himself and Horch. Well, there's always argument between whether the Royal Sussex did it or whether we did it.
Quite. Did you get any idea of the political atmosphere prevalent at the time in the Lebanon and
no,
Palestine?
No, none at all. The only thing that happened is the Gurkhas loved fish, and their idea of fishing was to put a mosquito net at the bottom of the thing and a grenade in the top, and then all the fish get caught. And I could say that I got a letter from whoever it was in the Lebanon saying that we had destroyed the banks of some river, you know, would we do something? This was handed to me at casino. Needless to say, that was the end of that one.
Now, adjutant traditionally is the man who enforces discipline in...
Well, yes, yes. CO's orders and what have you, yes. Yeah.
And what was the discipline like?
Pretty good. I'm not really aware of any horrible dues. I think one chap got a bit sloshed and... I put him in the guard room and was told that it was quite unnecessary by somebody, by the 2IC. So no, it'll be all right. But no great problems. No.
I mean, normally in the British Army, the most prevalent offence in battalions in wartime would be people being absent, being late back from leave. Presumably you didn't suffer from that sort of difficulty.
No, not while I was there, not. As I say, I was in Alexandria, the Lebanon, then back to Italy, Taranto, until we went into line at Lanciano. I can't recall any real problems.
Do you remember when you first heard that you were going to go to Italy?
No. No, we'd moved back from the Lebanon to... Ismailia, I think it was. I think. Certainly wasn't Alexander. I think it was Ismailia. And then we said, you know, you're off to Italy. And we got on board a ship and went to Taranto. I think that was November, December time, something like that.
In the Eighth Army, Montgomery had made a great deal of informing the troops to the maximum extent about where they were going, what they were going to do, and so on. Did you have a similar sort of policy in 4th Indian Division? Was it considered necessary and beneficial to inform the soldiers about what was going on?
Well, yes. Certainly they all knew what the plot was. Later on, as a company commander, I made it my business to know what the objective or the aim of the attack, which was a night attack usually, always, what the aim was, because if things went wrong, everyone knew what they were meant to do up to a certain point. I say up to a certain point. In a night attack, you can't control everything, but as long as the whole company knows what the aim is, well and good. If you pass out, somebody takes on.
Did the Gurkhas have a curiosity? Were they keen to have information about the overall...
Did what?
Did the Gurkhas... Were the Gurkhas curious about the overall situation?
No.
They weren't?
No, I don't think so. No. You were cheerful and happy laughing. As long as they had their rum ration. This was very, very, very necessary at... in the casino battle. We had a big battle there, actually, getting... The medic said, you're too low. You can't have rum at 5, 6, 9, or whatever it was. And eventually we got our rum. That did make a difference.
Where did you land when you went to Italy?
Taranto.
To Taranto.
Yeah. And then moved up to Potenza. And that was snow on the ground Christmas Day in Potenza, I think it was, yes.
Christmas Day of 43.
43, yeah. That's right.
How did you make the move? Was it by train or by motor transport?
No, we were not by train. No, I think it was three tunnels. Mm. I'm pretty certain. Mm.
What did the battalion have at that time by way of transport? What was its organic?
Oh, 1,500 weights, three tunnels. Yeah. We had one jeep, which we liberated from some American place. This was went from Alexandria to Lebanon, but I don't think it ever reached Italy.
Indian battalions were quite famous for acquiring supplementary equipment.
Were they?
They were, yes, as a way of supplementing their mm-hmm. their equipment. I mean, was there anything you managed to get hold of besides the jeep?
Oh, yes. Well, later on, we would liberate the odd Browning from a tank, a U.S. tank, as a top load on the mule, 3.0 Browning. Very useful weapon.
Another thing that happened frequently is that at one stage battalions were told they'd got to give up their medium machine guns because they were being put into machine gun battalions.
Machine gun, yes.
But quite a lot of battalions managed to hang on to their Vickers guns as a...
Yes.
Did your battalion have its Vickers guns when you rejoined them?
What, the Vickers machine gun?
Yes.
Yes, but it became a brigade machine gun. The 7th Brigade, our brigade, well, this was later on.
Yes.
It was brigaded.
You had a brigade company.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Was the same thing done with the mortars?
No.
So you hung on to those?
Again, at the casino it was, yes. So they were put together, but normally we had our own mortars.
Mm. What was your strength when you went to Italy?
That I wouldn't know. I have no idea.
What were you doing at that time? Had you given up being adjutant when you got to...
No, I was adjutant right the way through the casino battle, right the way through to June 44, when ACB Company, Monty Ormsby, had been wounded at the casino. And he came out of hospital, and when he rejoined, the CO said, right, adjutant for Monty, and Shakespeare, you can go and look after A Company. So I did.
Was that the first time you managed to get into a command?
Yes, first time, yes, A Company.
And you never actually commanded a platoon in action then?
No.
So you went straight from being to commanding a...
You don't command, it's always a Gurkha commands a platoon. Mm. Or Jemadar, as it called in those days.
So you arrived at Potenza. What happened when you got there?
It was Christmas. Snow on the ground. I can't remember much else. It was a pretty nippy. Certainly no, we were waiting to know where we went on eventually. I don't know, after a day or two, we went up to Lanciano, which is on the eastern side, over the other side of the Sangro, after the Sangro battles, and in from Orsonia.
What impression did Italy make on you, going through it? And
rugged, cold, difficult country. As being in winter, it was filthy, inhospitable, and wet, cold, snowy. Not good. Not pleasant.
What did the Gurkhas think of it?
I don't think it went at all. thinking back again, if I'd ever been to Nepal, which we weren't allowed to go to Nepal in the old days, that sort of life was what they are quite used to. Cold, wet, snow, difficult, and quite cheerful. It was the British officers, I think, and myself. It was worse for us than it was for them.
They were habituated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you have any contact with the Italians?
Not really, no. No, no. No, we were in the line. No, I had no contact at all. We took over from the Kiwis. And we took over from the 28th Maori Battalion, to be exact. Mm. And when they moved out, the LCO said to our CO, he said, "Your jokers look just like mine." And the Maori and the Gurkha were very similar.
Mm. Was that when you first went into the line as such?
Yeah.
When you took over?
What
sector were they holding when you took over from them?
Well, there was Ortona, and then Lanciano, and then down the line, I don't know what the line was, I forget now, to Orsonia, I think it was, where the Canadians had a thing. And we were sort of Ortona down in the middle there, took over from the Kiwis. We didn't know where they were going, but they were going to Casino.
What length of front did you have to hold with the battalion?
Oh, really can't remember.
Do you remember what the positions were like?
1,000-2,000 yards or something. Not an enormous front. No.
Do you remember how you were deployed? Did you have all your companies in line, or did you have
some? No,
there
were two companies up, and two back. Certainly two forward, I think. We did a lot of patrolling, keeping them at their distance. They were very good at patrolling.
How far away were the enemy forward positions?
Well, I don't know, 300 or 400 yards, I suppose.
Could you actually see them from your own forward?
No, well, I was in headquarters. We couldn't actually see them, no, not then.
Were you dug in those?
Oh, yes, you were, yes. So. Or in a sandbagged house or... there again, memory. We were at the headquarters was in a house, presumably the sandbags and things. I can't remember sort of being dug down.
So I know that in some areas the troops had to make sangars because they couldn't actually get below ground. And they had to
As I say, we took over from the Kiwis. We took over the thing. I suppose there must have been some sit trenches and what have you. It was, again, snow all over the ground. It was miserable weather.
When the patrols were sent out, were those fighting patrols or...?
Six or one, half dozen the other. Recce and fighting. Yeah. We did a lot of patrolling. Mm. And by that, you kept the opposition away. They were very good. They learnt, they're extremely good in the North Africa and their patrolling work, and that was done by my predecessor, Donald Ramsay Brown, who was a very fine patrol commander, and he always had a 11 platoon of B Company. That was the fighting patrol. That was a killer, or tiger patrol, as they call them later on in Malaya. The specialists, which is against my views, I reckon that any platoon should be able to do it. But there you are.
There seemed to be a policy at that time within the army of having a battle patrol of platoon strength in each battalion that would be specialists in that kind of thing.
Well, certain brigadiers were that way inclined, even later on, but I still maintain that a well-trained battalion should be able to say, any platoon can go and do it. Just keep one the whole time. Where the long range patrol at Mersham were true, where the guns were taken out by Donald Rose Brown and various stories about that, but it was a marvellous job. But there we are.
When they did when send out a fighting patrol, would it be platoon strength or?
No, not necessary. No, not necessary. In the desert, it was about it. Yes. A platoon, about 15, perhaps 15, depending on. We'd have to talk to him about it. I went and did a patrol once, a recce patrol, and I got a rocket.
Why was that?
The brigadier. Lost enough British officers, fooling around doing that sort of thing.
When you did your recce patrol, how many men did you take?
Oh, I only had a couple.
So it was you plus two soldiers.
Myself and two, I think. Yeah. And one of them said that was in the corn making, and I could see the sentry sort of having a shot at him, and then the absolute silence. I thought, oh God, he's been killed, but he wasn't. All we were doing was trying to find out how alert they were.
And were they alert?
Oh, yes.
How close did you get to this sentry?
I know, about 20 yards away.
That's quite close.
Oh, yes.
Do you know roughly what sort of distance you covered when you went out on that?
Oh, no, not very far. Oh. Not very far. We were only about 150 yards away. Oh. This was after casino battle at Lanciano. Yes, just east of Lanciano. Yeah. I thought I was being a bit keen. I got a rocket.
You say that the idea was to keep the Germans away and so on. Were they patrolling as well at that time?
Yes, but I think the whole idea was to dominate no man's land. Mm. By that, make sure that they didn't get to know what you were up to. And we were quite good at that.
Did you know who you were up against in that area?
No, I can't remember now. Mm. But this was, again, when I was commanding a company, they were not like one power or anything like that. They were withdrawing anyway. Mm. They were withdrawing, and we were pushing them. And this was just before what we call the Kieti Stakes, where we suddenly went for Kieti and got there in one day, I think.
So first in the Lanciano, and then where did you go to after that?
This was before Casino.
Before Casino.
Oh, we went from Lanciano to Casino.
You went direct to Casino from Lanciano.
Yeah. We went right the way back and round, and we were carried in American six wheelers, I think, to get there, because our three tonners were only two wheel drive. They couldn't make it.
Had you had any? Anything to do with the Americans up to that stage?
No. They were, I think, they were driven by Negroes. Very laughing and happy laughing.
What happened then when you got into the area in front of Casino? Where did they?
Oh, San Michele. That's right. Yes. The name has come to me.
Yes.
San Michele was our sort of place where we slept under the snow, and there were no cover, no nothing. And across the valley was the monastery. We got there late in the evening, I think, spent the night. And the next night, we moved to Kaira, the village of Kaira, which was under Monte Castellani.
What could you see looking forward? What did the landscape look like?
Well, as I say, we